Alan Kring Productions, in association with the Emergent Light Studio, presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, academic lectures in business and economics. This is International Financial Management, FIL 344, for spring semester 2022.
Today, review for the final exam, part two. This is where I cover what will be from the new material after the midterm exam. Now, it will constitute about half of the exam in terms of points. Although there are a couple of places in here where you'll find that the points are a little larger. However, at the same time, it will be material that you should be able to get very easily. Or at least it's not going to be that hard. Even some of the numerical parts, and I'm going to show you one of those right now. In the section of the course where I talked about economic risk management, I showed you a worksheet that I had developed. This is there's a representation of this in your PowerPoint slides as well for this chapter. But that's a graphic, and this was the original file that was created, the Excel file, long ago. And I'm going to put it up here on the screen to remind you of the one about which I am talking here. I've got the exam up here, and I don't want to switch to that. I'm sure you would. The actual final exam is up there, but this is what I want. Okay. Now, you remember this one right here, where I was showing you the impact of different categories of cash flow in a corporation and how they were affected by the exchange rate. In this case, it was the Canadian dollar, and I gave three scenarios for the exchange rate, from 75 cents American on the Canadian dollar, 80 cents Canadian on the US dollar, and 85 cents US against the Canadian dollar, showing you as the exchange rate moved what would happen to the value in U.S. dollars, first of sales, then of cost of materials, and then interest expenses. And I showed you the original scenario, and then I said, okay, let us look at what would happen in a realignment of those. Now, I anticipate that you are at least somewhat conversant in Excel. This is in your resources folder in the economic risk management section. Know how this sheet works. I will tell you right now that I am going to ask you about a set of questions that is based upon the results on this sheet. It will be some currency against the U.S. dollar. And I'll give you three different scenarios. And I'll ask you for the exchange rate change impact on pre-tax free cash flow. Just like you saw here in the original, I will ask you, okay, what is the pre-tax cash flow under exchange rate 1, exchange rate 2, and exchange rate 3. And then I will then finally ask you, about a scenario in which you have done some realignment. Like that. This sheet is fully manipulatable. All you really need to do is put in the currency, the exchange rate scenarios up at the top in row 2. And then, obviously, make your changes as necessary in the realignment in column C. But it's right there for you. All you have to do is know how to use the sheet. And then give me the answer. I guarantee you, if you've got enough time, the final is not until next week. learn how to use this sheet. If you have questions, for God's sake, just send me an email. If you need a Zoom session, ask me for a Zoom session. I'll figure one out for this weekend. Hell, I have no life anyway. Know this sheet, because I guarantee you it's going to be worth about 12 points on the final out of 100. And it's basically, if you know how to use this sheet, you got it that fast. Like I said, the formulas are already in there. Yeah.
You might touch on this, I'm sorry, but are you going to show different snapshots where there's changes in it? So if there's like a realignment?
Yeah, I would tell you what the realignment was. I would indicate the realignment. I would say from $4 Canadian to $20 Canadian for sales, $200 Canadian to $100 Canadian for materials, and interest from this to that for the interest expense. I would tell you the scenario change for the second part. So all you have to do is know what that sheet does and basically know where the numbers should be plugged in to change the results. Like I said, it's all formula driven. This is essentially what I am doing here is I am obviously doing international finance, which is what this course is about. But I'm also pursuing one of our new highly valued goals here is to assess students' ability to use Excel. And I can say, here you go, cupcakes. A whole problem that was based upon Excel spreadsheets on the final exam. So I've covered my ass when they say, are you really still in the 19th century? Well, part of me is, yes. But, you know, that's just me liking some things there. But, yes, we are in the 21st century. I am assessing them on their Excel skills. At the same time, I am still assessing them in international finance. Okay, so know this. It's right there in the economic risk management section of the resources tab I keep wanting to say VeggieNet, and I'm told I shouldn't be saying that. In VeggieNet, so there you are. That gets you a long ways. Now, I'm going to pull up some of these slides that I've shown you along the way, and I'm going to tell you where you should focus. Okay? Let me get this off here. I'm going to mute this so that I'm not accidentally putting up the... There we go. Okay, so now, let me get back here. Forgive me, I had all this arranged, and now I don't have it arranged. In the subject of economic risk management. Okay. Okay, here we go. Wait, what? Okay. It just overheated, and so now it's cooling off. Okay, so now, in the economic risk management tab, folder in your resources, you need to focus, and I'll just tell you the title of it. When we get cooled off, I'll start things back up again. Oh, there we go. Okay, so there are some of the slides that are just background slides, and that's the same in the PowerPoint. Now, remember, most of these slides eventually became PowerPoint presentations. I caution you that the ones in that were finally done by Cengage ultimately have some things missing that are in these graphics that I created that were the original creation for the course. Okay, so now waiting for that to come back up. In that what section, economic risk slide 2-2. Economic risk 2-2. That's an important one. Come on, Power. Wake the F back up, for heaven's sakes. Huh? I know. I push everyone too hard. That's why I live alone now, except for my cats, who don't care what I say. Okay, there we go. Now, in this one is the one financing strategy to hedge economic exposure. Know what happens if the how you at least partially could hedge economic exposure by financing a portion of the loans in euros rather than dollars. It's simply because if you're financing in euros and the euro weakens, then you need fewer dollars to pay the to make your repayments. And even if the euro strengthens, all that does is counteract the effect of benefit from the dollar, a stronger euro on your revenues. Just know this. It's kind of like a question that could be a multiple choice or a true-false question. Just know this slide, especially those two, the second two paragraphs of it. How would you hedge a sale of a fixed asset? This is slide 2-3, it should be. Yes, economic risk 2-3. Know what can be accomplished by hedging the sale of fixed assets, and know the problems that could come from hedging. This is a classic kind of multiple choice. The upside of hedging the sale of fixed assets is blank, and the limitation is blank. And then you'd have pairs of words, A through B, A through D, or A through E. That's how I would do this. Now, where would forward contracts be used? I could ask that. A, hedging translation exposure. B, something else that's not right. Something like that, okay? Just know what is on this slide.
Is that 2-4?
Yeah, it should be. I'm sorry. Yeah, keep after me for this. Economic risk 2-4. Hedging translation exposure. Again, it's a typical question. Which one of these is not a limitation of hedging translation exposure? And then I'd give you all of these, and I'd give you something that was not. That's all there is to that. That's 2-5, economic risk 2-5. I'm not worried about the one that's just economic risk 2. That's just preamble stuff. And this one was just a stupid slide that was there. Okay. This is just a graphic that shows you what happens. And you've seen this in a lot of different circumstances. Okay, this one. This one's worthy of a question. What is your recommendation if a foreign currency has a greater impact on cash inflows? What is your recommendation if a foreign currency has a greater impact on cash outflows? If your type of operation is sales in foreign currencies, and your foreign currency has a greater impact on cash outflows, which of the following? And one of those would be increased foreign sales. That's all there is to it. Let me take you down here. Exchange rate risk exposure under in that folder. Now, starting out here, I will not ask you for you to calculate. I will not ask you to calculate the standard deviation of cash flows from two foreign sources. I will not ask you that. Okay? So you don't need to worry about slide value at risk equation. You do not need to worry about the value at risk equation, because I won't ask that, because that can get to be complicated, and it is too, I've found over the years, it is too easy to make a stupid little mistake, the kind that I like to make all the time, and get a wrong answer. That's just all there is to it. It doesn't prove that you're stupid, it just proves that you've got a mental issue like I do about things. Okay. The whole thing about correlation is that I could ask you about correlations. Okay, which would be more desirable? Cash flows that are highly, exchange rates of two different international operations that are highly correlated, or two that are poorly correlated? Which would be more desirable? Now, obviously, the answer is you would want them to be poorly correlated. Then they would cancel out at least some of each other's ups and downs movements. That one's not a particularly, that's just another one of those intro slides. Okay, this is just bait for a question. This one is economic exposure slide 2-2. Economic exposure slide 2-2. It's just classic. I mean, I could hit you with a couple of these possibly. Just know exactly what the sources are and what the impact of foreign currency depreciation and foreign currency appreciation is. It's almost common sense in a way. Obviously, if a foreign currency appreciates, then that's going to increase your dollar cash flows, because you're making more money in dollars because the foreign currency is going up against the dollar. So you're making more dollars against it. And all of these down here. Like I said, this is just an easy, easy multiple choice. That's economic exposure 2-2. This one, now I put this one here. You don't need to worry about it. I'm not going to do any regression analysis on the test, just because some of you would have better access to the good regression formula and all of that than others would. So don't sweat that one at all. And this one is just basically what I've done before. This is a simplistic example of what I already told you. That spreadsheet, that's where you would worry about it. So don't worry about this slide here. Come on. Slide 2-4, don't worry about it, because that's pretty much the foundation of that spreadsheet in economic risk that I've already covered with you. I tried to actually fashion, I've tried a couple of times over the years to fashion a question based on this, and I really have never been able to make a question that would not be some kind of long-winded essay. You know, what are the why should you worry about exchange rate risk, exchange rat risk, and why? What's the counter argument why you should? Okay, I've tried over the years to figure out ways to do this, and I got nothing. So I'm not going to ask about exchange rate relevance, exchange rate relevance. So you need not worry about that. OK. Give me a minute here. I honestly don't remember. Okay. I won't ask you about this. I couldn't remember whether I asked you a question about this or not. So the one, exposure by cash flow balance and correlation, I won't ask about it. I won't ask about the slide. I mean, there were, I couldn't remember. I thought I put one together, but I guess I just kind of gave up on it because there's too much hazy there between slight and slightly positive, slightly negative, and highly and highly, and all that kind of stuff. So I dispensed with that one. I'll ask you a question about this. It's pretty quick to throw one together. I mean, I didn't even put a sheet together on this one. It's pretty straightforward. So that would be net cash flow by country. And I'll just give you a question on it. Like I said, it's pretty easy. How do you do it? 80 times 10 million gets you that. 15 times negative 100,000 gets you that. It looks kind of hard, but it's really a joke of a question. So if it's one that looks hard, but it's not hard to do, I usually assign more points to that to make you look like you're heroes. And like I said, I'm not going to ask anything about this thing right here. This is one that's like a true or false type of thing, maybe, or a multiple choice. So that's translation exposure example. Was the name of the graphic that I created. True or false? The greater the percentage of an MNC's business conduct by its foreign subsidiaries, the larger the percentage of a given financial item that is susceptible to translation exposure. That's almost like a duh kind of thing. It's a good true or false kind of question. Now, FASB 52, I'm not going to ask you about it, but I don't want you to get the impression that that's not an issue. You heard me bitch about it in the lecture, that dealing with the accounting, one reason I don't deal with it is because this is accounting, and I've always thought over the years, should I cover a lot about accounting, or would it be preferable for me to set my face on fire and beat it out with an iron skillet? And I've always sided towards the skillet. So I'm not going to do an accounting question. Although, again, I can't emphasize, just because I'm not asking about it doesn't mean that I'm not going to emphasize that we do need to appreciate that FASB 52 is in flux. It's a big, big issue around the world right now. Well, not right now. For some reason, the accounting standards boards of the different countries have been pretty darn quiet about having meetings recently. Apparently there's other things on the agenda for the world right now. Okay, let me pull back here. Go to my next one. Oh. I'm not going to ask you anything about forecasting exchange rates. I'm not going to ask you anything about forecasting. That's mostly arithmetic and math, and that's not, there's going to be enough of that on the test for you. Here we go. Now, I will ask you something pretty basic about call options, hedges, payables. Whoops, let me do this. Let me line these up for you, tell you where. Okay, so as far as forward and futures hedges, I'm not going to hit hard on this because, again, there is some math in there that can get you into the weeds, and I don't think I want to do that on the final exam. But do understand what forward and futures hedges on payables and on receivables look like, why you would do them, what you would need as far as the information in order to make the hedge to do the right hedge. So in that regard, come on. Okay. Okay. How would you do a money market hedge on payables? It's right there. Borrow funds in the home currency and then short-term invest them in the foreign currency. That's how you would do a money market hedge on payables. If a firm borrows funds in the home currency and short-term invests them in the foreign currency, this would be called, and there would be A, B, C, and D, and one of those would be a money market hedge on payables. Again, I would ask the question, if a multinational company, an MNC, borrows funds in the home currency and short-term invests them in the foreign currency, this would be which of the following? It would be a money market hedge on payables. Now, I could ask you a really basic question about what an option is, what a call option is, what a put option is. Just show me that you understand that there is a strike price, that there is when you would win, when you would lose, all that kind of stuff. Just show me that you know what a call option is and what a put option is. I wouldn't push this any further than that, okay? We've had a debate for the longest time. There was used to be an old rule, do not teach anything about options in any course except for 247, my baby. Don't talk about them in 240, 341, 340. No other course should you talk about options. And the reality is we have to now, and we finally... No one's paying attention, so I'm and several other professors, now we're showing. Yeah, they are a very important part of both normal business as well as international business. If you take my short-term financial management course in the fall, you'll find out that one of the biggest things in short-term cash flow management is forwards and options and all those kinds of things. So, yeah, we talk about them now, and I will not hit them any harder than what I'm doing right here. In this, I'm not going to do this. I won't hit you with this kind of stuff. Let me get over here. Hedging exposure to payables. Yeah, I did that one. Now, this is kind of a fluff one here. This slide 2-1, that's just kind of a fluff. You can look at it, obviously, if you want to get a little background. I couldn't find a way to ask about this graph here. It's kind of an important thing to know when certain... Okay, yes, I did. Under which scenario or scenarios would you have certainty about the outcome? And that would be under a forward hedge or a money market hedge. I'd ask you, under which circumstance would you have certainty about the outcome of your hedging method? You would not have it under a call option or under no hedge. I mean, obviously, under no hedge, you would have the most uncertainty. But you would have some uncertainty under a call option, simply because if the exchange rate moved in one direction, you would not exercise it. You would just pay off what you had to. It's only under the higher, if the exchange rate goes up, that you would have certainty about what happens. You would get a specific payoff. So there is one scenario, hedging with an option, that you would have some uncertainty. And there are two under which you would have no uncertainty. You would have complete certainty. That would be a forward hedge and a money market hedge. And the most would be, obviously, if you have no hedge whatsoever. I'm not going to ask you about this directly. It's kind of an obvious thing that you want to see what happens when you hedge versus the history of what happened when you didn't hedge. And that gives you your real cost of hedging. But I don't think there's any way I know I didn't ask you about it. And this is, again, a background on hedging for receivables. You can look at it just to get your bearing on it. I mean, this is another background slide. And this is obviously what a put hedge looks like. Okay. I had this one on the test, and then I took it off. So you don't need to worry about the table. One reason I did was that, and it's partly my fault, when this was originally created, I should have created more scenarios in which the hedge had an effect. And there's only one scenario in this, scenario one, where the hedge, the option actually kicks in. In the other ones, the hedge expires worthless. So I can't do that. Now, I have several questions, and I've got to take one or more of them out. It's up to you right now whether I put in a question where you calculate a money market hedge or not. Yes. Okay, we have a motion and we have a second of the motion. And all in favor, say aye. I don't think I'll give this question then. Yeah. So in other words, that's an FTS question. You see, I have learned my lesson about bonus points. This is that whole thing about certainty versus some uncertainty versus a lot of uncertainty. That's definitely something I can ask you. Definitely something I can ask you. Yeah, and this is the same thing as the other one, except you're dealing a forward hedge, money market hedge, for the opposite, for receivables instead of payables. Now, I'm going to take you out here for a moment. And we are crashing. Protected. This is the final exam, and I'm trying to pull it up, and it's crashing. Boy, is that going to be fun if we do that happens when you're taking it. Okay. Word completely crashed. So let's try that again. Okay. Oh, I see why it did. Some genius decided that every computer, when it comes on, will kick on the stupid Microsoft Teams, because we're all on the same Teams. And it actually, it sees something like a Word document, and it grabs it and says, oh, you want to share that with everyone? No, you morons, I don't want to share that with everyone. Okay, so I didn't realize Teams was, I forgot Teams was running in the background, and it gobbled it up, and it basically gave Teams a diarrhea.
I had to install
that on my laptop. Okay, let's try this. Now that I don't have, okay. Okay, now I've got to download it again. Okay, let's do it. Okay, here we go. Let me. Okay, now here are some of the questions, just an outline of questions that I could ask you. I could say something like, translation exposure reflects, and possible and potential multiple choice answers, exposure of a firm's cash flows to exchange rate fluctuations, the exposure of a firm's international transactions to exchange rate fluctuations. Now notice those two are subtly different. One says the exposure of a firm's cash flows to exchange rate fluctuations, and the other one says the exposure of a firm's international transactions to exchange rate fluctuations. Okay? Be careful, look in your slides. It tells you the answer there. Then there are a couple that are just stupid. Okay? Generally speaking, in my multiple choice, you'll find that only one or two actually are not stupid answers, are not generic or off topic. Always know that about my questions. That in some cases, there's just one that, yeah, that makes sense. The other ones don't even make sense in this context. Here's one. Now write down what I'm saying, because this will be your chance, or listen to the podcast so you can get it again. I could ask something like, which of the following operations benefits from depreciation of a firm's local currency? Which of the following operations benefits from depreciation of a firm's local currency? Which of the following operations benefits from depreciation of a firm's local currency? It could be Wabbit. Okay. I mean, there are stupid questions. Economic exposure can affect. Domestic firms only, MNCs only, both A and B, neither A nor B. Again, economic exposure can affect. And that's one of those which is obviously, I mean, there's only one answer that's going to be right there. So again, economic exposure can affect A, purely domestic companies, B, only multinationals, C, both A and B, D, neither A nor B. And again, that's almost, well, duh, kind of thing. Yeah, I've gone through that. Now, there's going to obviously be something like appreciation of a firm's local currency causes blank in cash flows and blank in cash inflows. Appreciation of a firm's local currency causes blank in cash inflows and blank in cash outflows. I could do one like a company sells products in the U.S. and buys its materials from U.S. suppliers. Its main competitors are in other countries. This company has no exposure to exchange rate fluctuations. It has transactions exposure, economic exposure, translation exposure. Again, this is a purely domestic corporation, but its competitors are in other markets. Does it have no exposure to exchange rate fluctuations? Does it have transactions exposure, economic exposure, or translation exposure? Be careful of your answer there. See a few more that I could do. Okay. Here's one. What do you call an exchange of currency between two parties with the promise to re-exchange the currencies at a specified exchange rate and future date? What would you call that? Again, You're going to agree with another party to an exchange of currencies with a promise to re-exchange them back at a specified exchange rate on a future date. What would you call that? Anyone want to take a guess at it right now? Yeah? Oh, yes, it is a repo, for God's sake, but that's not one of the choices. A repo is an example of what?
Contract.
You are an intellectual colossus, yes. That, yeah, I know. Okay, we could go backward like that, or we could go... There you go. You're just trying to irritate my head today. I mean, a lot of these are just... Okay, I'm just going to go through a couple of things with you real fast here, just some potentials for true and false questions. Forecasting a currency a year in advance is often more accurate than forecasting a currency a week in advance. This is a true and false. Forecasting a currency a year in advance is typically more accurate. Oh, good, good. Yeah. I spent the weekend with an old army buddy of mine putting up a jungle gym for my grandson, and he wasn't allowed to be there because he is way too young to know the kinds of words we use when we did that. I mean, 2 days, about 10 hours each day. And at one point he came out there right as I was about to say something really inappropriate. So it was one of those like you see at a playground park, you know, with the A-frame, the swings, and the little tree house, and this tube slide and all that. Damn kid better be grateful. I mean, some of these are so stupid that I've written. I mean, I'm just going to tell you one of them right now. It's too stupid. Okay. Different departments in a multinational company should establish their own exchange rate forecasts because each department can best determine the type of forecast that it needs. And that's I've got another. Here's another one that's really stupid. Did I actually put two highly negatively correlated currencies move in tandem almost as if they were the same currency? Okay. Here's one, and I'm going to let you figure this one out for yourself. A purely domestic firm is never exposed to exchange rate fluctuations. A purely domestic firm is never exposed to exchange rate fluctuations. You might have to think kind of carefully about that. I mean, some of these. Here's one. To hedge payables with futures, a multinational company would sell futures to hedge receivables. Okay. Again, to hedge payables with futures, a multinational corporation would sell futures. I read the rest of it. That's a secondary question. Again, to hedge payables with futures, a multinational would sell futures. Okay? It's right in your slides. To hedge payables position with a foreign currency using money market hedge, the multinational would borrow the foreign currency, convert it into dollars, and invest those dollars in the United States. Again, to hedge a payables position in a foreign currency with a money market hedge, the multinational corporation would borrow the foreign currency, convert it to dollars, and invest that in the United States until it needed the money. Let me look. I'll give you about five more. All multinational corporations are subject to transaction exposure. All multinational companies are subject to transaction exposure. Be cautious. This is not as easy as it sounds. Again, all multinational corporations are subject to transaction exposure. It might sound easy at first, just be TF careful with it. Now, the last thing I'm going to do for you here, we've gone through a bunch of things, a number of days in this class. I began by showing you currency exchange rates, what they are, and all that. On the final exam, I'm just going to ask you a few basic questions about what you saw. What were the trends that you saw overall? What were the explanations for those trends? If I asked you, I could ask you, okay, what has been the trend overall of the ruble against the dollar over this course? Now, that doesn't mean over the last week or two, over a longer period of time, what have you seen? Overall, foreign currencies have been appreciating or have they been depreciating against the dollar? Overall, over this period. What were the driving factors that were causing this overall movement of the exchange rate of the dollar to foreign currencies? What was the main factor? Was it A, the return of disco dancing? B, the increase in the interest rates in other countries against the United States? C, the increase in interest rates in the United States against the interest rates in other countries? D, who cares? I'm going to live in a hippie commune. That kind of, obviously, well, maybe not quite that flippant, but just asking you some overall basics about what has been going on. What have we been talking about? What have we seen in the course, in this class, and in this course? And why, for example, has the ruble begun to recover against the dollar? Would it be because the sanctions are working and the Russian economy is being completely cut off? Or would it be some other reason that I give? Why has the ruble begun to recover the way it has? The fall of the change in the value of the ruble, the exchange rate of the euro to the dollar, would that benefit a multinational that has greater revenues in another country, or would it benefit a company that has greater costs in another country? Think your way through the problems. You'll have plenty of time for this test. It's going to be a 100-point test. About half of it's just going to be questions that I asked you from the first midterm or variations on those. And then in this one, there's going to be some matching, some true and false, and some multiple choice, just like I've given you, and one, at least one, and a couple of math questions. One of them, a big Excel spreadsheet, and I've given you the spreadsheet question. Take your time. You have 2 hours to do this exam. It's not that bad. Okay? And if you want, send me MET questions or by email. And if you want a Zoom session, by all means. Next week, I will be here on Monday and on Wednesday. The exam opens at 9:35 a.m. on Monday. It closes at 11:55 p.m. on Friday. I will be here in the classroom as if we're having a happy class together if you want to take the final with me here to hold your hand or to slap you across the side of the head if that's what you want. Okay? So other than that, that's all I have for you today. And don't forget to do that student evaluation. I'm going to send you the link for it. If you don't do it, I'll find you and hunt you down. That's all I have for you today. I thank you.